All right, everybody. I'm Logan Alec. I'm a CPA, and this is my update for Saturday, February 20th. The House Budget Committee released the full text of the current iteration of the stimulus bill yesterday. It's a total of 591 pages. Now, this may not be exactly what it looks like when it reaches Joe Biden's desk, but it gives us an idea of what the Dems want to see in a relief bill. For the relevant portions of this thing, honestly, is basically what we've already gone over here on the channel last week, when we went over the House committee markups on this thing. There's really no major changes here, but I will still go over the relevant portions in this video just to give you a refresher if you missed any of my videos from last week when I went over how the committees had marked up this thing, the stimulus bill. So let me just run through some of the key points here. First, there are obviously the direct payments, the $1,400 stimulus checks, $1,400 for non-dependents and $1,400 for dependents, including adult dependents this time around. These would go out in full to individuals with annual incomes under $75,000 and joint filers under $150,000. They will phase out after those income amounts. So if you're single and your income is between $75,000 and $100,000, you'll get a smaller check. If you're married, between $150,000 and $200,000, you'll get a smaller check. If it's above $100,000 for single, above $200,000 for married, you won't receive a check at all. That's a little bit different than the previous round of stimulus checks, right? Where, you know, if you had a lot of children, child dependents, you theoretically, right, your income could be unlimited if you had like a lot of kids, right? But these are hard cutoffs here. 100,000 for those who file single and 200,000 for those who file married filing jointly. This is essentially the same as what was as what Richard Neal put out a couple weeks ago. I've already gone over these numbers in spreadsheet format on February 9th. Be sure to check out the video if you missed it. This hasn't changed since then. Also, these income amounts are first calculated based on your 2020 tax returns if you file those and it gets accepted before your check is processed. So if your income was above the limit in 2019 but below the limit in 2020, it might be a good idea to file your taxes as soon as possible so the government has your information for 2020. Otherwise, you have to wait to claim it as a credit. Also, the flip is true. If your income is too high in 2020, but it was low enough in 2019, maybe consider holding off on filing until you get your stimulus money, assuming all this passes. Also, mixed status families qualify. So unlike the CARES Act, in this bill, if one spouse doesn't have a Social Security number but the other spouse does, the spouse with the social would still qualify for $1,400. Same goes for dependents in those situations, as long as the dependent has a Social Security number. Also, deceased individuals who died before January 1st, 2021, are not eligible. In terms of unemployment, the bill includes supplemental unemployment benefits from the federal government. The first two stimulus packages, well, the first stimulus package came at $600 a week, right? Then we had Trump's thing, and then $300 a week most recently. The current one allows for $400. That's what they're pushing for, as we expected. This basically means that if you get any form of unemployment, whether that's the traditional unemployment at the state level or one of the special, you know, the PUA for self-employed, this also includes PEUC, right, the extension, you'll get that money plus the $400 plus up every week from the federal government. Doesn't matter whether you get $5 or $500 in unemployment for that week, the $400 goes out to everyone who's receiving any kind of payment, similar to the $600 weekly under the CARES Act. The current $300 bonus, right, from the December bill is set to expire in the middle of March, which is one of the main reasons why there's been so much urgency behind the push to pass this bill as soon as possible. They're also planning to extend the pandemic unemployment assistance and pandemic emergency unemployment compensation by 24 weeks beyond the current expiration date. So regardless of which unemployment program you're in, your benefits would still be there through the spring and summer. So we're looking at August 29th as the end date for these unemployment benefits. That is the date in the bill. Moving on, as I mentioned several times in previous updates, the child tax credit, enhancing the child tax credit, has been central to the Democrat stimulus plan. And this stimulus bill includes provisions to increase the child tax credit to $3,000 for qualifying children between the ages of 6 and 17. And $3,600 for qualifying children under the age of 6. This was expected. We've talked about these numbers several times before. Biden has been pushing for this. So beginning in tax year 2021, the credit would be entirely refundable and available as a monthly payment rather than a single payment, right? Like with your tax return, a tax credit. So you would not have to claim it as a credit on your taxes if you don't want to. You'll actually be able to get it in cash ratably over 12 months or however quick the government can get it out to you. Because in the bill, there's kind of this provision where it's like, hey, if administratively we can't do it monthly, we'll do some other interval. But you still have the option, of course, to claim it as a credit on your tax return, just like you can do now with the current child tax credit. But you would have this option of getting it paid out monthly. For this updated child tax credit, the phase outs based on income would begin at $75,000 for singles, $112,500 for head of household, and $150,000 for married. We've heard those numbers before, right? Ever since the CARES Act, those have been kind of the numbers, right? Where phase outs begin. There's a 5 cent on the dollar reduction in your child tax credit for every dollar your adjusted gross income exceeds these amounts. And look, remember, if this passes, you would be able to get these amounts monthly if you so choose. But what if your income is actually higher, right, this year, right? Well, you have to actually pay back any amount that you received that you weren't eligible for based on your income when you file your taxes. You kind of pay it back, a reconciliation on your tax return, right? But on the flip side, if you weren't paid enough on the monthly basis, you could claim, you know, whatever deficit is owed to you as a tax credit on your tax return. They want to set up a portal for you where on this portal you can, you know, report your income. If your income changed, right, you can tell them if you want to, and you can also tell them if you want to receive the payments monthly or simply as a credit. If past rumor has it, they would be shooting at this portal up by early summer, but we shall see. Also, if you've been following my updates, you know that the minimum wage has been a sticking point over the last few months, and the $15 an hour federal minimum wage is at least in the current version of the bill as published by the Budget Committee. Remember, this doesn't mean the minimum wage would become $15 per hour, you know, the day after they pass the stimulus. It's a gradual increase that won't actually reach $15 per hour until 2025. So the minimum wage would bump up from $7.25 per hour to $9.50 this year, $11 next year, $12.50 in 2023, $14 in 2024, before finally reaching $15 an hour in 2025. And even after that, the minimum wage would be tied to the median hourly wage, so you wouldn't have to worry about having to pass a new minimum wage law every time the old one gets outdated. Again, it's not a sure thing this is going to pass through reconciliation, right? There's debate over whether that's even possible. Plus, we have moderate Democratic Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema already having come out against the $15 minimum wage. And without them, there would only be 48 votes behind that proposal, assuming no Republicans support it. Of course, Biden, Schumer, and other party leaders could find ways to pressure Manchin and Sinema, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out over the next month or so. There are also some important provisions here related to health care. This stimulus proposal makes temporary changes to the Affordable Care Act, COBRA health insurance, and potentially even Medicaid by offering states an extra 5% in Medicaid funding if they agree to expand their Medicaid programs. With respect to the Affordable Care Act, the relief bill would ensure that people receiving federal Affordable Care Act subsidies don't have to pay any more than 8.5% of their income for health insurance, which is down from roughly 10%. Enrollees with incomes under 150% of the federal poverty line wouldn't have to pay any premiums at all, and subsidies would be boosted for people who are already receiving them and some people who aren't. Finally, if you want to stay on your employer's plan through COBRA and you were laid off during the pandemic, according to this bill, you'd only be responsible for paying 15% of those premiums. So the healthcare provisions obviously don't get as much press as the stimulus checks, but there's a lot of substance here that would at least temporarily reduce the cost of health insurance for a lot of low and middle income people and families. All right, what else? The current 15% food stamp boost would be extended until September. K-12 schools would receive more than $100 billion for reopening, and childcare providers would receive a total of around $40 billion. There's some small business aid, $15 billion for the EIDL, $25 billion for grants and restaurants, bars, etc., and $7 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program, which would be available for even more nonprofits than before. They also included around $325 billion in aid for state and local governments, with $25 billion more for tribes and territories. So if this passes, Nancy Pelosi would finally get the state and local aid that she has been pushing for a while now. Obviously, there's some more this and that's here in this nearly 600-page bill, but this covers the main provisions. As I said, nothing will be final until the final bill gets to the White House and Joe Biden signs it into law. We should see a floor vote on the bill in the House at some point in this coming week. From there, it will go back to the Senate, where the leaders will either let committees work on their sections of the bill, right, just like we saw in the House last week, or they'll expedite the process by taking it directly to a vote. I'll be here until then to let you know what's happening with the stimulus and with everything else in Washington. So thank you, as always, for watching to the end, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.